minds, and whether there are any weariness within us. Lord, we ask that you will challenge us and encourage us at the same time as we read together in your word. I pray all this in your name. Amen. An invitation of rest. Now, there's something powerful about an invitation, isn't it? I don't know if you ever received an invite for a birthday party or a wedding. It says something about your relationship. It tells us that we are wanted, included, and possibly even valued to the other person. Some invitation surprises us. We don't actually expect it. And they feel even actually a bit strange when we receive it. Now, about 10 years ago now, when I was 29, it was my first year of studying full-time Bible college at Morling. I was still working part-time as a finance manager at West, and I was still coming to church here at that time. I haven't gone into full-time ministry then, or paid ministry in that sense, but I had no real sense of what I was doing with my study. I had no idea what I was going to do in my future vocation, whether I'll go back to working full-time in accounting finance or whatever it may be that God brings me. Until that was, in my first year, a friend that I met at college called Elvin, in one of the regular prayer groups that we had, just invited me to visit his church in Five Dock and to consider being a student pastor there. As God's plan would have it, after visiting there, it was a really nice and good fit. It was a different sort of church. I mean, it was Asian, but it was much smaller. And so there was a lot of different things that we could learn and practice as well. Looking back, it was a bit of a strange invite that took me there. I mean, I had been very much at ease and at peace staying here after being here for a long time, since I was probably like 15. And I loved having church here. It was a very small community compared to here. And to be honest, Elvin didn't really know me that well in hindsight. He's only prayed with me a few times during our prayer meetings at college. And for him to invite me, looking back, was a bit unexpected. But in hindsight as well, without that invitation, I'm not sure how my path would have differed. Whether I would have gone, I definitely wouldn't have gone to Five Dock. But I don't know where it would have led me in terms of my ministry. Looking back, because of that invitation, my life changed because of that. After that, I was at Five Dock for 7 years, and Jess came over after we got married. And from there on, a step at a time, it led me into full-time ministry. Sometimes an invitation has a power to change our whole lives. Not just for a day or two, not just attending a wedding, a birthday party, but for the rest of it. See, Jesus in Matthew 11 gives a strange and unexpected invitation to those around him listening. See, these people in Galilee were listening to him. They had been following him around, witnessing his miracles. But Jesus was realizing that these people still didn't believe him as the Messiah. They still rejected him. They just wanted to see more and more miracles. And instead of being frustrated, Jesus extends out this invitation of compassion towards them. An invitation to come to rest to those who are wearied and burdened. He says to them, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So as we shall see, this is more than just a call to pause or to, rest, to take a holiday, but an invitation to a much deeper rest, one that touches our very souls. So when Jesus speaks to the weary and the burdened, now he's speaking to a crowd that knew what it meant to feel overwhelmed. These people in the first century, their lives were hard. Physically, most of them would have been laborers of some sort. Their day-to-day work would have been carrying water, tending to the fields, building stuff. It was a relentless part of everything that they did. There were no unions to kind of look after them, to make sure that they were, working just, a limited amount of hours. Their survivals depended on constant and demanding work. There was no paid leave when they were a bit tired or wanted to go on holidays. No sick days that pays them when they, weren't feeling too well. They would go on day after day. Fishermen would spend their nights casting nets only to return in the morning to mend those same nets again. Their very survival would have felt like an endless treadmill, constantly pushing forward in toil and labor, never being able to stop or find reprieve. Because stopping would mean going hungry, or worse yet, going into debt. Emotionally, there was so much weighing on their minds, the fear of the oppression from the Roman empires that was around them, soldiers that could demand their labor at a word's notice. They were paying 30 to 40% tax just to support this government who was oppressing them in the first place. Things in their lives were uncertain. Their hard work was no guarantee of success. One bad season would have meant failed crops and bring disaster upon their families. One accident would have meant that they couldn't work. And spiritually, they were constantly weighed down by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. A heavy burden, feeling like they were crushed in their relationship with God. The laws of Moses from the Pharisees had expanded into 613 commandments, detailing everything that they had to do to remain in good faith with God, ranging from their diet, to their clothing, to the Sabbath rules. Numerous interpretations and traditions fall up onto them in their daily lives. For example, in terms of their Sabbath observance, what was originally meant for rest, a day to enjoy their relationship with God, it was riddled with complex restrictions. They were counting steps to make sure that they were not overstepping into working. They had to make sure that they weren't lighting fires in a way that was counted as work. They couldn't even heal someone if it meant unless it was life-threatening. Any joy of relationship with God and His Word was replaced by anxiety and guilt. There was an endless attempt to get it right. This is what Jesus meant when He says, these people, these teachers of the laws and Pharisees, tie up heavy and cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders. Because their spiritual life has become a balancing act, trying to meet demands of the law and while fearing the consequences of their failures. Instead of offering peace in their faith with God, religion to them felt like a relentless treadmill of performance. Imagine climbing a ladder, rung after rung, going up and up, hope of peace, but yet never really reaching up to the top. And that's what legalism would have felt like for them. Always striving, but never secure. So for those standing there, listening to Jesus, this idea of being wearied and burdened was an everyday part of life. They would have heard Jesus and thought, of course we are wearied and burdened. It's all they have ever known in their lives. It's all they see around them. This wasn't just a season of hardship that they were going through. It was the reality that they woke up to each morning and the weight they carried throughout the day. At Jesus' invitation, He says, come to me. He's saying to them, yes, that's you, but there is another way. For those standing there, they would have thought, how could there be another way? But Jesus says He comes to offer a rest they need. See, for some of us sitting here today, this sense of being wearied and burdened may resonate with you today. It may be how you feel deep within at this moment. Outwardly, it may seem like everything is fine. You smile and you have those conversations with people, but within you, where no one sees, where you yourself may not even want to acknowledge, there's a weight within you for one reason or another. There's kind of like a knot within you that just feels stuck and you can't untie. A fear in your life that just never seems to go away. A sense of breathlessness in life, like you're just drowning and struggling to keep your head above water. You may say, of course, like, how can we not feel wearied and burdened like those in the first century? Like, there's just so much going on in each of our lives. With work, studies, families, friends, our schedules is just packed. There never seems to be enough time in week. There's just so much expectations laid upon us from family, friends, colleagues. Our bodies are just tired. We never seem to get enough sleep. We might suffer from some sort of chronic illness where no doctors could fix. It may be our families or loved ones that are sick. Our work days are long and it leaves us strained. It's uncertainties of layoffs, economic downturns, the cost of everything going up, the list goes on and on and on. Of course, it's easy for us too to be wearied and burdened. Like them, for some of us, it's all we've ever known. Worse yet, I think it's possible that we've become so accustomed to it that we can't imagine that there is any other way but to be wearied and burdened. And even worse, we might even think that that weight is normal and even good. Jesus says there is another way. He says, come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, Jesus doesn't say just, you know, yes, acknowledge that burden. Yes, you know, I know you're feeling bad. But he promises us that there is a rest. He says, I will give you rest. Not just a momentary reprieve of a holiday or a good night's sleep, but a fundamental change in who we are and how we live. A promise of rest that begins with him coming and us accepting his yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, at first you may wonder, you know, what a yoke is. You know, first image you might think is like an egg yolk or something. No, that's not what he's talking about. But the yoke he's talking about is the ones that you will see in agricultural contexts. That ties two oxes so they can plow together. Now, what typically happens is you'll pair one strong ox with a less strong ox, one that is more experienced with one that's less experienced, so that the younger and the weaker and the less experienced one can kind of develop and to be trained up to be like the strong and the more experienced one. The stronger one will lead and sets the pace, and the weaker one will learn by walking in step with the stronger one. And this yoke allows them to work together, sharing the load. So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he's inviting us and those listening to him to be joined with him closely. To be yoked with him in the way that he bears those weights and leads the way for us. So the people listening then, they would have understood the idea of what to be yoked with. It was said that they were yoked to the laws, but they knew that that was a crushing yoke on the shoulders of them. A yoke of endless rules that we talked about and demands. But Jesus here, in contrast, is offering a different kind of yoke. One, he says, that is easy and light. Like, how can a yoke, they would think, be light when it talks about implies work or obligation? So he's easy and light because Jesus is in that yoke with them. Jesus is that partner that's pulling them forward. He actually helps carry the load he calls all of us to bear. It's not a promise of, you know, zero work or responsibility. They still have to continue plowing those fields. But he promises as we yoke with him that he will find that he's helping us carry that weight. So we do not have to face these burdens by ourselves because his yoke is easy and his burden is light for us. Where we fall short or feel inadequate in our own pulling, we can turn to him for strength and for peace. Imagine yourself as one of those exhausted ox trying to pull a heavy cart up the hill by yourself. You're straining with all your might and energy and your shoulders are hurting around you, and suddenly the weight is lifted. It's still there, you see it, but you know that that weight is being alleviated. And you see Jesus there, helping you, pulling you through. To be yoked with Christ, this means that you are no longer pulling through this life by your own strength. He is beside you and is sharing every burden with you. As we are yoked to him, he calls us to learn from him as well. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus says he is a gentle teacher. When we stumble or struggle under that yoke, when we fail in life, he deals with us in love, not harshness. He's humble in heart. He's not some sort of taskmaster demanding perfection from us. But instead, he is gracious and patient with us. Under his yoke, we aren't driven by the fear of failure or some punishment, but we are led by his grace and kindness. It's a relationship of discipleship, walking with Jesus every day, step by step. In doing so, we can learn to trust his leading as well. When two oxen are yoked together, the stronger one leads and the other one follows. In the same way, being yoked with Christ means we let him be our leader in our lives. He might not remove our responsibilities, but we surrender in our experience and to his peace and to his strength, that he guides us and we follow the path that he has set out for us. In trusting in his leading, we no longer need to manipulate the outcomes in our lives. We still act faithfully towards the things we have responsibilities over, but we know in assurance of him that he's leading us into a goodness where we can face the future without fear. That's what he means, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the beginning of being yoked with Christ for each of us is in surrendering ourselves to him, to submit ourselves to be yoked with him. What burdens have you been trying to carry by yourself? What things have you been holding so tightly to say, this is mine? And Jesus is inviting you today to let him carry it with you. This invitation means that we know that you are not alone. And better yet, we don't have to be alone. We can trust him with our anxieties. Instead of carrying those worries by ourselves, bottling them up within us, we can bring them to Jesus in prayer. With open hands, we give it to him to handle the things that we cannot control. And we entrust our relationships, our careers, our future, the things that we think we have control over, to him. Stop trying to figure everything by ourselves, to do our part faithfully, and ultimately acknowledge that he is Lord over all the things in these areas. To give up our pride and embrace a dependence on him. See, often we want to prove ourselves to be strong. We live in a world that says, no, we want to be independent and not reliant on someone. But the way of Jesus says it is that we can rely on him. We should come to him at his invitation and admit our weakness and our need for him. The dependence on Jesus is not some sort of burden, but it's a relief for us as he becomes our strength. When we do these things, we're essentially stepping up to be yoked with Christ. We find that our souls experience a rest because he is bearing that load that we've been so used to carrying alone. So the beauty of what Jesus offers is that he not only offers us rest today, but also for eternity. So he doesn't just offer us physical or emotional relief, but spiritual relief as well. Jesus is not just some life guru giving us life advices to kind of let go of things, like dishing out some sort of service solutions to our daily problems. All that he offers in this life is based on the rest that he offers us in eternity. That he gives us a rest for our souls, for now and forever. He gives us a rest from sin's burden. to the rest that addresses really our deepest need. So whether we acknowledge or not, when often we kind of get distracted by the weight of our everyday lives, it's not those weights that we suffer most under. But our greatest burden, whether we think it or not, is the weight of sin and judgment. It is a weight not carried on our backs, but one with our souls. That weight may not drag us down today, but it will for eternity if we do not deal with it in Jesus. In Jesus, he offers us eternal rest. He says in 1 Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus took up that burden of sin for us to the cross and the weight of our sins and punishment that we deserved. He took it and took the punishment for himself, securing a true rest for us for all eternity. In Christ, we find freedom, forgiveness, and eternal security. We rest in the presence of what it is to be with him. As he removes that burden of sins, he gives us an eternal hope. See, Jesus offers the promise of heaven, an eternity in rest in his presence. There, at that point in heaven with him, burdens would truly cease. In Revelation, he tells us that there will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. The rest at that point Jesus gives is not temporary, but complete. In his kingdom, there will be no more striving, no more guilt, no more fear. Every tear, every sadness will be wiped away and every burden lifted. And our eternal rest will be life as it was meant to be with him. In peace and joy and in the presence of God himself forever. And there God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them. There we will see him face to face, rejoicing in the relationship with him who knows us and loves us. With that eternal presence of God, it gives us a present and eternal hope. Knowing that our future is secured with Jesus, it sets us free from the anxieties we experience in the present. See, yes, we live in the present tension of struggles. Yes, we do all that in our suffering of everyday lives. But we do so with an unshakable confidence that our destination is an eternal rest with God himself. I'm not trying to downplay any pains or worries you may have, but rather I want us to upplay, to lift up that glorious hope and reality of the future that we are looking forward to. We want to make great of that wonderful and true rest that awaits us when Christ returns. That hope acts as an anchor for our souls. It means that no matter how fierce the storms in life may be, we know the ending of this story we're living. We know that Jesus has won against sin and death, and we will be with him in peace. This hope of eternity lightens the load of today's worries. Where Paul in his own suffering is able to say the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. That great vision he held on to as he suffered is the same vision for you and me today. Our frame of reference changes and our hearts find rest when we are yoked with Jesus himself. The rest that he offers is both for today and for all eternity. You may trust him with one or the other. You may trust him with the future eternity, but you struggle with the everyday lives. Or you may let him take the everyday things when you need to, but yet to submit yourself for him for all eternity, knowing that he has saved you. He has come to offer each of us both, to promise us that if we surrender and release control to him, to submit to him that he is indeed our Lord and Savior, he will take those burdens for us and give us rest. So at the very beginning, I shared about the invitation I got in going to Five Dock, how that changed the trajectory of my life for, 7 years and probably going forward from that. But the invitation Jesus extends to us has the power to change entire lives, not just today, tomorrow, and next week, but the rest of all eternity. Today is your opportunity to come back or to start going to him and to say, I need your rest. He's invited you to come to me and lay down your burdens and find rest with him. It may be that you have forgotten what it's like to be restful in Jesus. It may be that you're so used to that weary and burden of everyday life that you think it's the only way to go. It may be you think that that's what defines you, your stress and your worries. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Now give us a moment in our own silent prayers to let God search our hearts for those things that we are holding on to, that are indeed weighing us down. Say in your hearts and your mind, take it for me, Jesus. Take it for me, for I can't bear it myself. Take it from me that I may find your strength. Lord Jesus, we are thankful that we don't have to go through this life alone. That you not only achieved for us eternal rest, but daily rest as well. That you have promised that you are with us each and every day, and that by your Spirit you guide us and you lead us. But we know that we are proud of what we can do, what we can achieve ourselves. Lord, help us to let go of that burden of achieving for ourselves. Help us let go of expectations from ourselves or from other people, but to find rest in you. Help us to come to you with open hands and let go of these burdens of lives. We're thankful for your promise of eternal rest. You've achieved for us the great time to settle for our greatest needs of sins and death. And we come to you each day to drink from you and to learn from you. And we pray all this in your name.